session. We will call our work session to order at 6:06 p.m. And we will go down. All right, then. I have a goal to be out of this place by 9 o'clock.
So is the mayor not...
Mayor won't be able to be here tonight.
Let's go.
Okay.
Council either.
So Becky's going to go up and we're going to run down the agenda. So if you guys have questions, and then our big hot topic tonight is the budget. And so our goal is to approve a balanced budget tonight. Right? Okay. All right. Let's start with the...
The amendment only applies to the expenditures side of things.
So it's coming out of property taxes instead of check fees then?
Well, it could have come out of plan check fees, yeah. Yeah, it could have. We already budgeted for a certain amount of plan check fee revenue for the year, and I don't think that will exceed that revenue. However, we will exceed the property tax revenue again. Because of the transition of the building official, we had already budgeted for a full-time person for the entire year,
right.
But we didn't budget for any contract labor.
Sure. Okay.
And so we could have listed the plan check fee revenue, but it would have just been less likely that we would actually meet that revenue projection. Whereas the property tax revenue, I have calculated that we will receive over $40,000 more than we were planning or budgeted. And the main reason for that difference is our collection rate. Our collection rate actually was almost 96%. Which is extremely high and the highest it's been in the last 10 years. And I didn't check before that. So that's why we're seeing more revenue than we budgeted.
That was the collection rate of property taxes.
For property tax revenue. The fourth item is to fund the separation agreement that were approved mid-year. And the fifth item is to make improvements to the public works building, making improvements to the basement to create more office space, and to increase the size of the parking lot, and other improvements needed to move the entire staff from the public safety building, the office staff, to the public works building. And I believe that should come in under $50,000. Any questions about the amendments?
On the first one, the transfer to the capital projects, you said that's going to then leave our general fund reserve at 18%?
Yeah.
It'll be right at
18%.
Okay.
Yeah, I put $500,000, but once we finalize the end of the year, then I can look at what the fund balance is and adjust it. So I may not need to transfer $500,000, all of that,
okay.
But I'm going to transfer enough to prevent us from taking improvement.
Okay.
Any other questions about the amendments? The third item on the agenda, at least that I'm presenting, is the utility rate. And these were the fees that are listed in the utility rate study that was approved at the last meeting. And I know that there were some concerns about pressurized irrigation subsidizing water, culinary water. And my recommendation would be to approve these rates for 2012, and we can look at adjusting those rates for 2013. The reason being, there's several reasons. The first reason is that I feel like you need to give residents enough time to adjust to the high culinary needs. There's 130 new homes in our city that have just connected to our culinary water, and most of them are not connected to pressurized irrigation. And so I think it would be kind if we would give them some time to connect to pressurized irrigation and advertise the new rates for 2014. The second reason is revenue stability. If you increase your culinary water rates by significantly, that's obviously going to alter behavior. So if we're budgeting for a certain amount for culinary water, we can't really predict what people will do if we increase the rates dramatically. Most likely we will not generate the revenue that we expect because people will conserve water. Therefore, the rates would need to be even higher than what we are currently planning. So I think it would be wise to to increase the rates gradually over time, but if you would like to dramatically change the rates so that they are paying for themselves, I would recommend that we wait until 2014 so that we can advertise the new rates and give residents enough time to adjust. their budgets and their cash pressurized irrigation if they, they would want to do that.
Becky, could we ever do like a half year where we do an increase halfway through?
Yeah, or we could do it in January 1st.
I think that one of the biggest things is those 130 new homes, and then also, I think it's so important on advertising and getting that message out to our residents. Because these are the mishaps that sometimes we have, is that the misinformation, and that's something that I think we need to really work on. If it's going to happen, and
we can. Right. I think we're going to give residents enough time to plan and make changes to their behavior so that they can afford a rate increase.
So, Steph, are you saying, oh, Jenny, sorry, go ahead.
So I was under the impression that if we were fixing this, that residents wouldn't really see a significant change because they would have a decrease in their PI, but an increase in their culinary. And you're saying that's not the case.
Well,
they would
most
not
of those residents are not connected to PI.
Just those 130. But
but there's other residents in the city. That's just a specific portion of residents that are very new to our culinary water system. And they're already seeing a huge increase to what they've seen in the past for their culinary water fees. And so I just feel like it's bad timing to increase their fees
right
that dramatically when they've just barely connected to our system.
So, and I understand that. So, would every other resident, would they see the same increase, or would that kind of even it out?
Well, it just depends on the size of their lot. I mean, on average, the net increase or decrease would be about the same.
Okay. I'm just curious.
But there would be some residents who would see a major increase, and some who would actually see a decrease, depending on their lot size, how much culinary water they use, and whether or not they're connected to pressure irrigation. So,
and it was Bowen and Collins' recommendation just to kind of let it gradually fit.
The recommendation was to gradually increase the rates over time. It makes it easier to budget for the culinary water fees because people, if you gradually increase the rates, they're not going to totally modify their behavior.
Okay.
So that's what you're recommending, right?
Yeah, my recommendation would be to increase the rates gradually over time. But if you feel that you would like to fix these rates so that they cover the cost as closely as possible, then I would recommend that we at least wait until 6 to 12 months.
I guess what I was saying is, your recommendation any different than Bowen Collins?
No, I agree with their analysis and their study, and I think that they have done this. They are experts
right
at what they do, and so I trust that they know what they're talking about.
Steph, what were you saying about January?
Well,
it's kind of hard to hear what you were saying.
January, or even in 3 months, but I think that we've just had that study done. We've just been given the information, and honestly, our residents aren't well informed of it.
Right.
And so these are kind of like some of our mishaps that we do, is we do that, and then it's like the firestorm test because they weren't aware. I think one of the things, even if it was 3 months, and we hit and marketed really hard to let people know and give them the information.
And just so you know, David and I talked today about sending that message. We were just waiting to first see if it was going to be approved.
Three months is beyond the summer high peak area as well, right?
So if you're trying to incentivize people to hook up PI, 3 months is enough time to do that.
Yeah.
Between 3 months and a year, it doesn't matter.
But honestly, 3 months is going to put us right where we're going to be shutting water off pretty close to it. So
we still charge.
Yeah, we still charge, but people aren't going to be digging a hole in September to connect their PI. They're going to be digging a hole in
That's why
April.
We're incentivizing to do it sooner, sometime between now and September.
Yeah.
So are we proposing that we change the rates in 3 months to the first of the 10-year? Is that what you're saying?
Well, no, my recommendation is that these rates be effective July 1.
These ones are different than our current rates by the amount that Bowen Collins said
yeah,
should be.
And, you know, less than a 4% increase.
But the conversation on it, I think, was is that our recommendation was that PI takes for PI.
Sure.
For culinary.
And I agree with
culinary,
I wouldn't do it in 3 months. I think you give two very good reasons for it. The first one is covered by the 3 months. The second one, I think, is very important. I would be willing to say do it over a period of 3 years and
maybe minimize the
not take the 10-year window, maybe the 3-year window, and then do this year, and then each of the July 1st between these, for the next three July 1st, get yourself a third of the way closer to where we want to be in that at that point, and that gives it a chance to be more gradual and give people more chance to hook up and stuff like that. Because that, I didn't think about that when we were discussing that. That's great.
Yeah, so I think that's a good idea. Maybe you change the time frame from 10 years to 3 years, but making it gradual.
But still have the same 10-year window of how we're going to adjust all the rates, so it's kind of a moving target, but rather than wait until 10 years to achieve what we want, achieve it sooner and then kind of go on there same path.
So, Becky, were you saying July 1, 2012 or 13 when you changed the rates? You're saying 2012,
right? These rates should be changed at the recommendation that you change effective July 1.
2012.
2012.
Because this budget revenue is anticipating that's already occurred.
Right. And those utility bills won't be mailed until August. So, it does give us a few months to advertise.
How do you recommend we do that? Not everyone's going to read the newsletter. A lot of people don't.
Newsletter,
everybody's going to want to give us their email address.
I mean, we're doing the contest, newsletter, we're doing the...
Bombarding people with phone calls.
Well, no, I think this is one of the things that Jenny's communication is really good, that she's talking about this contest, where they actually... It is informing them to get their email address, but also it's an incentive on that utility bill. That's what they're doing. So
be the first to not have to worry about the new rates.
So that's how it's going to be. Email. It'll be the newsletter. It'll be the website. On the website, it'll be much more expensive because we need to talk about not only this but the TSSD thing as well.
And
so
the projections. And the projections too.
Mm-hmm. So David and I actually talked about that today about how we're gonna communicate that to residents in a variety of ways.
So, does it cost us anything to use the robocall the city has?
No.
Well, I mean, to my knowledge, I've never received one of those calls. Is there a reason why we wouldn't want to use?
Oh, I just do them every time.
You got one last week?
I got all of them too,
because of the family festival. You must not.
I've never got one.
Is your home number on there, maybe?
I think so.
I don't know.
I just do up one and like 2 minutes of each other.
Okay.
The only thing that we want
to
be careful with that is
put on the robocalls,
it's long, and for most people that I talk to, they listen to like the first couple of seconds and then hang up.
Your water rates are changing.
You gotta like hurry and get them fast, and you don't want to make them angry, and that's why the robo, I think, is
good. Yeah, I don't want to be sending them a robocall every few weeks within an hour.
I guess I wasn't aware that they were going out, because I've never had one.
The family
we need to make sure his number goes over 5 times.
Okay.
And the rate study is posted on the website so that if residents have more information, they can go to the utility section of the website and look at the entire process. Okay, the fourth item is the certified tax rate. And as you know, the certified tax rate is the rate which will provide the same amount of revenue, property tax revenue, as was charged in the previous year, including revenue generated by new growth. So the county auditor certified tax rate for 2012 is 0.003183, and that is estimated to generate almost $645,000 of revenue. And it would be my recommendation that we that the city council approve the county certified tax rate.
And if we, so traditionally in the past, if I understand it, we have kept the lower rate if it's lower than what the city, what the county recommends. That's what's been happening in the past?
In the past, the rate has been fixed regardless of valuation.
So our rate right now is the 003153.
Correct. And so there's two sections. There's the general operations portion, and then there's the interest in, basically the debt service for the geo bond.
Okay.
So the rate for the geo bond changes every year based on valuation and collecting enough revenue to pay for that debt service. Yes. But the general operations portion, that rate has been fixed over. In the past, the city council has recommended that we keep that rate fixed as much as, or as close to that rate as possible. But the valuation for this last year did decrease.
Okay, so if we...
So we would have to reduce revenue if you would like to approve that same rate.
So if we kept the same rate that we have currently right now, what is the process for truth in taxation?
Oh, you want to increase?
No, to keep our same rate.
Oh, if you keep the same,
we would not
increase.
We don't need to go through truth in
taxation. If the valuation decreases, if the valuation figure increases, then we would have to go through truth in taxation in order to keep the same rate.
Okay. I just totally must have misunderstood something because I thought that the county's tax rate is lower than what our tax rate is right now.
It's higher. See, that's theirs and that's ours.
Because the valuation.
Okay. I was thinking opposite.
Yeah. So in order to keep the same rate, keep the rate fixed, we would have to reduce property tax revenue, which means we need to identify areas where we
have. Are you guys talking about the options over here?
Yeah, we are. Yeah.
All right. So what are your thoughts?
So my thought was, I'm actually, even though I am a firm believer of keeping the rate the same year after year and adjusting according to valuation, the one difference this past year and the next year and potentially in the future is the attorney's fees. They're significantly higher because of certain activities that are going on in the city. And I feel like we're kind of hiding that a little bit. People don't know that they're paying for those activities through the attorney's fees. Those attorney's fees, they have to come from somewhere. If they don't come from property tax, they're coming from other services. I don't really want to cut services in order to save money from the attorney's fees. I'd rather have people understand what's going on so that the residents can help get that away, because I don't see that. I see that going on for a long time.
Yeah.
And I think the public needs to be aware. The best way to make the public aware of what's going on is property tax. It's painful, and I wouldn't keep it that way for sure. But I don't know how else to get the word out that we are spending a lot of money on silly things.
Not only that, but I feel like right now we're running a pretty tight ship, and so then to say we have to find more ways to cut is extremely hard.
I don't even know how we can do it. So for that reason, I'm at least in favor of the county tax rate. And what I would do in addition to that is any money that we don't spend on attorney's fees, we ought to spend on increased services, whether it's, increasing the fireworks, because everybody loves it. Or more things in the parade, or things that people want. It's an incentive to get those things cut down.
Right.
And then if we can do that, I would absolutely take this, the 3153 and say next year we're gonna lower it back to 3153.
We can do that
next year.
So if someone were to ask, is this difference between last year and this year, in terms of funding, attributable just to growth, or?
Yeah, the increase in revenue is only attributable to growth.
And how did the county come up with the, Cedar Hills' growth? Did they just assume like a CPI adjustment, or how did they come up with that difference?
I'm not sure exactly how they calculated it, but
it's complex.
It's very complex.
Because if anybody asks, then
magic.
Clearly
you have to go to the county.
Clearly, the funding went up slightly, and the rate went up slightly as well.
Jim Perry used to know how that works. Probably still does, but he's not here.
But
it's
very
complicated.
Yeah, basically, my understanding is that values went down, therefore the rate had to go up in order to keep funding the same. But our funding went up by about $15,000, it looks like, from last year. And so there are certain people that are going to say that we're raising their property taxes.
Well, after these budget amendments are approved, That will raise the property tax revenue in the budget to $650,000, and so it will actually decrease by $1,000 to the house.
Say that one more time. I couldn't.
So the budget amendments include a $20,000 increase in property taxes, just because the collection rate was higher than our 5-year average.
Okay.
And so that will increase property tax revenue by $20,000 to $650,000 from $630,000. And the budget that is proposed for 2013 shows property tax revenue at $645,000. So it would actually be a decrease from last year, just looking at revenue projections.
Because you're not anticipating in your budget a 96% collection rate.
Well, if the county adjusts for the collection rate as it increases, that changes our 5-year average. And so they are only looking at the amount of revenue that we budgeted. And then they add the growth. But if they're just looking at the budget, it will show 650 to 645. So they won't be able to say that. If that's the only thing that we're looking at.
So one of the things I was just double checking with David, because you know when we talked about the last 10 grand in and the last 10 grand out, one of the things that, which goes along with Scott's comment, is Family Festival, actually we took 10 grand out of it. And so that was one of the last 10 grand. So if we are not spending as many on attorney fees, that is a 10 grand that could go back in. It's always a give and take. Obviously.
I guess I'm coming more from the area that someone's going to say in public comments at some point that we're raising their property taxes because our funding's greater and the rate's higher, and the answer that I'm hearing is just this is attributable to growth only.
Yeah, we are not raising property taxes. The rate is increasing. That does not mean we're increasing property taxes.
Because I didn't see a lot of growth in Cedar Hills over there.
How many licenses and permits were approved last year? I can't remember. You said we were close to already meeting it halfway through. But if I understand this, the county is saying your tax rate needs to be this in order to collect the same amount of revenue that you collected last year. So we're not. With that, plus growth. Okay. But, and that's the part we don't know how they figure out what the growth is.
Yeah, and I can get that figure for you if you're really interested in it.
Any other questions for Becky or thoughts or comments or feelings?
No, I think I'm good.
What is everyone?
Gary brings up a good point that I think would be worthwhile to spend some time on communication. That is, how do you communicate the tax rate change year after year? Because it's confusing. Some people it goes up, some people it goes down. Sometimes it's because of the school district, sometimes it's because of this or not. But people, the property tax equals the city. And if that number goes up, we're bad. If it goes down, we don't care about it. But we have our portion of it is confusing. And we can actually lower our property tax and look at a higher bill and wonder what's going on, which has happened in the past.
So I don't know if you guys, I'm assuming you guys see the newsletter. Was it last month that we did the property tax thing, or was it maybe the month before? Anyway, we put a little kind of a summary in the newsletter about how 22.9% of your overall taxes go to the city. The rest of it we have no control over. And then we put a really long description on the website. We could definitely do something similar to that again.
But if you could put real numbers on next year's rates, that would be really
real numbers.
Because
meaning
Alpine's going to go up because of the stuff that they did.
Same with Highland.
We could take a property tax bill and show the line items and show this is the golf portion and actually take that like snapshot of that and show how it's going.
Yeah, you know, that's what I think we got to do is put together some type of chart or something to show it very clearly instead of just text and say, look, this is either a sample bill or give them something that they can actually visualize instead of just words.
Right. We could do that. I mean, everyone's will be different, but we could do that.
Yeah. Well, that's part of the problem is everyone's is different.
Yeah.
So you can do a sample of some average amount or whatever, But in the end, it's really hard to explain because everyone's different. Some people it's going to go up, some people's going to go down. And here, probably everyone's going to go up because of the school district.
Right. It is going to.
By the way, do we know if we got any feedback from anyone from that newsletter article about property taxes? David, do you know anything?
I haven't heard any feedback at all.
So no news is good news then?
Usually.
No. I'd rather hear something.
Okay, by the way, I think that, not that we should listen to everything the Utah Taxpayers Association says, but they are more pleased if we don't keep our certified rate the same. They think, isn't it, and correct me if I'm wrong, Becky, they think that we should move our rate based on, you know, whatever the certified rate happens to be from the county as opposed to keeping it the same every year.
In order to prevent unnecessary tax hikes in the future.
Yeah.
They want us to anticipate the future.
They do.
And we do.
So instead of just rubber stamping it each year, they like to be able to see that we're actually proactively changing it to try to meet the need.
Well, what they're afraid of is that keeping the rate the same, and if property taxes go up, then we're going to receive more revenue. If property taxes go down, we're going to receive less. However, what they're saying what that does is that masks good things and bad things. Because if property taxes go up, you're hoarding money, if you will, for some rainy day that they say may never come. At the same time, if property values go down, then they're saying you may not have the money to be able to fund something you actually need to fund. Therefore, you may have to raise property taxes anyway. So they would approve of our rate going up this year and us doing that as opposed to keeping the rate the same. And, you know, perhaps having to do something down the road.
They want us to do the Utah County rate every year.
Yeah, they do.
What's more interesting is they're trying to avoid what many cities have done in the past, which is they kind of keep it at a level and then all of a sudden they can no longer subsidize such and such a service and they have a huge increase. They want to be more gradual and anticipate these things. Which I think we do. I think we're really good at anticipating those things. It's just that at the same time we're fiscally conservative that we are able to keep the rate low as we do that. That's harder to see, I guess. But
what we don't ever want to do is what Alpine is doing, is ignore potential problems until at some point where you have a huge property tax increase.
And Highland's doing that. And that's why, it's one reason why, you know, when we talk about the fee schedule change over the next 10 years, that's part of it is these water lines are going to break. And when they break, we need to have the money to repair them so that we don't have a sudden spike.
Right.
Same thing with TSSC. TSSC has been terrible at this. So they let things deteriorate, now we got to fix them, and it's just like huge increases, and everyone's unhappy.
Highland right now puts a 100% increase on their property tax rate, which is ridiculous. I mean, can you imagine doubling our property tax in Cedarville for the fallout that we would get?
Do you want to move on, Steph? We have just a little bit more time left, and I wanted to try to hurry and get through this with Becky on the rest of the budget, but it kind of sounds like I gather we're going to probably do the county certified tax rate.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Becky, on to the next one.
So, budget?
Yes.
Okay, the last item that I'll cover is the budget. And obviously, one of the larger items for the year. And we've been talking about it for months now. So, but I will review some of the changes.
On our new one?
Okay. Yeah. That is the general fund capital project fund. So as you will see, some of the major changes, like I said, are legal fees. I increased it by $40,000 to $115,000.
Can you show me the line number?
Sure, that is
10-4305.
On
the second page.
There we go. Okay.
So it's at $115,000. It was at $75,000. That's what we typically budgeted for in the past. But I've increased it by $40,000 to cover some of the unexpected.
Becky, really quick, we're pretty close to the end of the year now. What did 2012 turn out to be?
Ours is going to be very, very close to 150,000.
How much had we budgeted for? 40?
75.
75.
Originally budgeted for 75, but we amended the budget in the middle of the year and increased it to 115,000.
115. We bumped it by 40. That's okay.
So in order to pay for that $40,000 increase, I had to decrease or remove the decisions document. And it's in the same department, the general government section of the budget. So if the legal fees are less expensive than anticipated, then we can look at that in January and see if that document, if you like that, for that document to be.
That whole survey was budgeted out.
That whole, the decision survey was budgeted for $10,000, okay. And I removed it.
Okay.
But that can be added back.
Okay.
If the legal fees are not as high as expected, or it can be postponed until next budget year.
Okay.
I've also reduced the family festival by $10,000 from $50,000 to $40,000.
Wait, I'm
sorry. So with that $10,000 decrease, what are we anticipating with that? Are we anticipating more corporate sponsors to offset that loss, or are there things that we can cut with that $10,000?
Well, the carnival that we had this year, it was structured a little bit differently than we've done in the past, where the vendor actually collected the revenue and kept it. And that makes it much less expensive for us. We don't get the revenue coming in, but we also don't have the expense either.
Right.
So we can find different ways to reduce costs and hopefully still have a very successful, well-attended town festival.
If I can interrupt real quickly, like last year, if you guys remember that they were like smaller kiddie rides, so we actually went out and we hired that company to do it. So there was like a price for it. Where this year we kind of signed a contract with Midway West where they collected it and then we get so much of a percentage back in pre-sales and then we get so much of a percentage back in like their day sales. So whatever that percentage might be, we get that back.
Right, I just want to make sure if we're cutting out $10,000 that come next
firework?
Year, we're not cutting fireworks.
No.
How much was the fireworks?
I talked to Greg about it, and David also talked to Greg about it, because obviously we want him to be comfortable with, that's one of our biggest activities.
Everyone.
We don't want to hurt ourselves.
Yeah. How much did we spend on that this year?
Fireworks?
Was it close to 17?
Yeah.
A lot of people had very good comments on it, and a lot of people wonder how much it cost. I mean, it was good. It was very good.
I think
and I don't want to see it get worse.
I think it was around 17, and I think we actually even increased our bid.
Oh.
It seems longer this year.
I think it was between 22 and 24 minutes.
So
and last year, I
want to
say we were at 18 minutes.
Longer.
See, that's the thing. If we can push it up and make it even bigger and advertise it more, it would probably be more of a draw. We might be able to get more sponsors or stuff for it to help offset some of that cost.
It's a huge draw.
I think that Greg's going to be very successful in our family festival next year where he's actually, he has one under his belt that he was kind of thrown into.
Yeah.
And then,
usually they get one under their belt and fail.
And
no,
I don't think he's going to know.
Time.
I think he's really excited about changes that and just seeing things that can be fixed.
Right.
Another account that I decreased was the park maintenance, $5,000.
Park expenditures.
Park maintenance. Under
1064-240.
Yeah, it's under park expenditures. On the last page of the expenditures in the general fund.
It was 1061.
1054 to 40.
Okay. Is there anything left in the communication budget?
And I decreased contract labor in the building and zoning department by $5,000. And I also reduced the utilities and maintenance expenses for the public safety building. Since we will no longer be in that building, or there won't be any city office employees, we'll have the fire department there, but it won't be public safety issues.
If they want to stay warm.
Yeah.
They can bring in generators and run their own gas, I guess.
We'll see about that. So, question about the contract labor of the building and zoning. This is the plan check piece. So,
and inspection. Really, since we've never structured it this way before, we're not exactly sure how much we're going to need to contract out and how expensive it's going to be, and we don't really know how many additional homes we'll have.
Okay, because it seems a little odd to increase to deal with general fund. I guess it doesn't matter. As long as the fees and the labor balance out, that's all that matters.
Yeah, and if you look at the building and zoning section of the budget, I show $142,000 of expenditures. And that ties to the revenue in under licenses and permits.
Okay.
It's exactly $142,000.
Okay.
So those services are paying for themselves.
Okay.
And let's see here. Oh, and one of the changes that wasn't in the budget that was included in the memo and posted on the website was a $75,000 transfer of care tax funds to the capital project fund to pay for the equipment in the basement.
How much was that?
$75,000.
From the care tax fund to the capital improvements fund?
Yeah. So from the general fund to the capital project fund, there's a $75,000 transfer.
How much new money comes into the care tax fund every year?
About $35,000, depends on how the sales are in our commercial district.
Which line item is the care tax transfer?
It's a transfer to the capital project fund from in the general fund.
So that's a show up as an expenditure.
So it just shows up under other uses of funds. That's 1069910.
Oh, it's
transfer to capital
that.
Project fund.
Okay.
Overall, the city will be transferring $95,000, I believe, of care tax money to the capital project fund because there's the $20,000 needed for the routine park restroom and storage facility.
Is that happening this year?
So $95,000, you said?
$95,000.
It's
2013.
Oh, okay. Starting July 1. Where's that?
Yeah.
Where's those going to go, by the way?
We were going to ask Mrs. Rosen all of those questions.
Okay.
You do. I don't know if
you said $95,000.
Yeah, $95,000. $20,000 for the restroom and storage facility and $75,000 for the equipment in the basement.
Does that leave, do you know what has that leaves in our care tax fund at all?
$0.
Okay, that's what I thought, but.
And that's an estimate. Obviously, we don't know exactly how much we're going to collect and exactly how much we're going to spend, but we can change that throughout the year as plans change.
All right, anybody else have anything real quickly for Becky?
Was there anything else on the budget that was new from last time, or that was everything?
That was everything.
Okay.
Just want to thank you for.
Yes, thank
you. Yeah, thank you.
A lot of work.
All right, and our last item we have is our resolution on fireworks. Is it a resolution or is it just...
It's a resolution.
Yeah, it is a resolution.
This is an updated resolution. This is for the restrictions on fire, fireworks, and open fires, which Brad Freeman, checking with Chief Freeman, the original resolution said fireworks, aerial fireworks, and open fires, and Lodi Public Safety District has had the restrictions of all fireworks.
So nobody...
So east of Canyon Road, all fireworks.
It doesn't say east of Canyon Road on here. It just says all fireworks, open fires.
I'm not sure I can even support no fireworks east of Canyon Road as long as it means they're not aerial. It says all fireworks, open fires. It means nobody in the entire city can do any fireworks. I can't do that.
So we can still use the other resolution about aerial.
Better.
Why is he recommending that?
Just look how bright it is.
Yeah. So I talked to Chief Freeman right before Family Festival, and he was super concerned about the east side.
Yeah, I know.
How dry it is, and just that last year, even though we had a wet year last year, the aerial fireworks were totally crazy up there.
I know.
And so...
But this says all.
He was recommending the east side. That's what I heard. He's going to be here tonight, so we can talk to him about that. Last year we had three open fires up there, and a couple of them were serious enough to they almost got away from us.
But when he says all, I mean that means sparklers, anything.
Yeah.
They can't do anything. Yeah. And open fires meaning fire pits, they can't
fire
have
pits.
So any resident with a fire pit on the east side could not use it.
Right. Yeah. He filled that dry on that bench.
Okay.
So I can tell you as a resident that lives on the east side, it's scary sometimes. Because we're up against the mountains, and honestly, when my neighbors start shooting off aerials, and you know that sometimes we go a little wayward.
So,
but do you support?
Is this restriction? Oh, sorry,
I interrupted you.
I was going to say, is this restriction throughout the whole city or just parts of the city?
The way it's written, it's the whole city. But in your motion, when you make the motion for the resolution, you can add east of Canyon Road if you would like.
Let's talk to Chief Freeman tonight, because when I talked to him, I thought it was the east side. But also, other cities have where it's like if you're by a hillside, then it's restricted around that hillside and stuff like that. They have certain...
But isn't it usually just aerial?
And that's something we can discuss.
Okay.
All right. Okay, let's take a 5-minute break and we'll start at 7.
Okay.
Do we need to make a motion to close our work session?
No.
Nope? Okay, we're good. We're done.
Great.
Yep. Yeah, you can stop.